Amen to your singing. It was fantastic. If you would, open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. This morning, we'll finish the chapter. We're going to start in verse 28, work our way through verse 34. As you're turning there, let me remind you that last week, Kevin walked us through Jesus calming the storm. And if you'll remember, they were on a boat, the disciples and Jesus, and they were crossing the Sea of Galilee, going to the eastern bank. And when they arrive, this is where we pick up. When they get to the other side, we pick up here in verse 28. So if you would, hear God's word to us this morning. And when he came to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men met him, coming out of the tomb, so fierce that no one could pass that way. And behold, they cried out, "What have you to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" And a herd of many pigs was feeding at some distance from them. And the demons begged him, saying, "If you cast us out, send us away into the herd of pigs." And he said to them, "Go." So they came out and went into the pigs, and behold, the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the waters. The herdsmen fled, and going into the city, they told everything, especially what had happened to the demon-possessed men. And behold, all the city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to leave the region. May God bless the reading of his word this morning. Let us pray. Father, we ask that you would help us today have a higher view of Jesus than we had when we came in. Would you remind us or teach us about Christ, about his authority, about his power? Would you help us to see this Jesus as the one who has indeed redeemed us? Would you wound us where we need to be wounded, and would you encourage us where we need to be encouraged? And would you make us more in the image of our Jesus, this great Savior that we have because we've come in contact with you today. We pray all this in Christ's holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I've read this story countless times. Countless times. And the last few times that I've read it, I've come to it, I found Jesus's display of authority completely overwhelming. In fact, as I was thinking about it this week and how overwhelming it is, at least for me, when I read this passage and see what Jesus can do with one word, casting out demons, it reminded me of my favorite passage in C.S. Lewis's book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. My seventh grade students have just finished reading that book in my CC group. My favorite passage in that book is when the kids learn about Aslan the lion. And this is what they say when they are learning about him. They say, "Aslan is a lion? The lion, the great lion." "Oh," said Susan, "I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion." "Safe," said Mr. Beaver. "Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he's good. He's the king, I tell you." In that book, the children are learning about Aslan, and C.S. Lewis very openly and publicly wanted everyone to know that when he wrote the book, Aslan was meant to be the Christ figure and to point towards the real Christ. And in the book, the question is asked, is Aslan safe? No, absolutely not. He's a lion, but he's good. I think when we read this text, we should be overwhelmed, much like those fictional characters in the book. When Jesus puts his authority on display, we might ask ourselves, is Jesus safe? Of course he isn't safe. He's God, fully God. But he's good. There's a lot to learn from this passage. There's all sorts of things that we could talk about. But as we look at it, what's the overarching point that I think Matthew is trying to make to us? Why would Matthew relay the story? I think it's this. Christians have faith, and we serve a Savior that has authority and power even over the demons. We serve a Savior that has power and authority even over the demons. Much like the other narrative stories that we've come across in Matthew and the other Gospels, as the story moves along, there's scenes that change that help us to see this. I see this passage, some people see it maybe in two scenes, I see it in three. First, we get the demon's confession of Jesus' authority. That's something that you might not expect to find. The demons confess Jesus' authority. Second scene, the second part that we see to this, is that Jesus shows His authority. He puts it on display. And lastly, we find that the people reject Jesus' authority. And through all of these, what we're presented with is a Jesus that has a high authority, a divine authority. Brothers and sisters, this indeed is the Savior that we serve. So let's walk through and see if we can see this authority, this divinity of Jesus on display today. And as we start, we're going to see the demons even confess Jesus' authority. We picked up where Kevin left off last week. They have traveled across the Sea of Galilee to the east side of the coast there. Of the sea, and when they get there, it's an area, the Gadarenes. Sometimes, if you look at, maybe you even have this in your notes, in your Bible footnotes, it could be the Gerasenes is sometimes how that's related. There's two towns there, Gadaris and Gerasa, or how, I forget how you pronounce it. There's two areas, so it's kind of referred to as both, these two cities. But it's an area, the most important part about this, it's an area that's mixed Jew and Gentile. Jew and Gentile. Alright, there's both here on the east side of the sea. And when he arrives, what he finds is two demon-possessed men. They come up to him. They're not speaking on their own authority. These demons are speaking through these men. Let me ask you, as people who live here in the northeast side of Houston in the year 2023, does this make you uncomfortable? Does it make you uncomfortable to speak about demons? We don't often talk about demon possession, do we? Here in the West, I don't think it's something that Satan uses as much here as he does in other parts of the world. I don't think it's as common here as it was in the day of Jesus. I mean, we see it off and on throughout Scripture. Is it happening? But in our own day, we don't see it, or if we do see it, we don't know that that's what it is. Or we try to maybe explain it away in medical terms. But it happened. It happens. It happened here. The people of Jesus' day appeared to know this, and they could tell the difference between those who were ill and those who were demon-possessed, although Scripture tells us that many of the outward signs were the same. There appeared to be something different when people were possessed. Something more sinister and evil at play. We find that even if we just look back to Matthew chapter 8, verse 16, they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed those who were sick. There's two categories here in his day. Some theologians have put forth that this was the case because, and we see more demon possessions in Jesus' day because Jesus was there and Satan was attacking in full force. And the way that this text reads, these men who were possessed had lost complete control, and had been turned over to these demons. That might make us a little bit uncomfortable. Now, if you want to read more or study more, and go in depth about what Scripture has to say about demons, I can recommend a book to you. I will warn you, if you order it while you're sitting at a red light from Amazon and your wife gets the email that you've ordered the book, she will call you and wonder if your account has been hacked. I know from experience about that. The title and the cover of the book, do not judge the book by that. It is actually really good. I'll tell you that later if you come up to me, I can give you the name of it. Now let's go back to the text. These two men, demon-possessed men, they come to meet Jesus away from their home. Their home is amongst the tombs. And the details of these men, what's going on with them, is actually, I think, very important for us to understand the serious state of their possession, and also because of how bad it is and the nature of their possession, it helps us to see the magnitude of Jesus' authority and power. These men come from the tombs, an area where the dead would be placed, an area that would be ceremonial unclean. They live there because they not only do not care about God's law, they prefer places that are unclean. They're completely rebellious against God. Second thing that we see here is that these demons appear to be very concerned about destroying God's creation. They've occupied men who have been created in God's image, and they are causing destruction. And you may read this and go, Dirk, I don't see it saying that they caused destruction. Well, if you read the offsetting passages in Mark and Luke, what you find out is that these demons are causing the men to cut themselves, to destroy what God had created. They are violent. This is the third thing we learned about them. They're violent not only to their host, but to others. In Mark, we find that anyone who would come close would get attacked, and that we also find out in those other gospel passages that at some point someone had tried to restrain these men, and the demons had given them extraordinary power, and they were able to break the bonds and the chains. These demons were fierce and violent. They are the epitome of evil. So much so that Matthew tells us that no one would even go near the tombs. And as Jesus gets off the boat, they come up to Him. They come up to Him, and look at what they say in verse 29. What have you to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? I don't know about you, but this confession is shocking. Do you see what's happening here? The demons, the ones that are in full rebellion against God, are confessing that Jesus is the Son of God, that He is divine. Secondly, they're confessing that Jesus will punish them. Notice the surety with which they speak. Have you come here to torment us before the time? Their punishment is sure, and it is coming. They are testifying who Jesus is. Brothers and sisters, this is not just a passage about two men having demons cast out from them. This is a passage testifying to us who Jesus actually is, the Son of God. And He is the one who has authority and power to punish these demons for their rebellion against God. And what we find out here is that demons are not agnostic. Demons are not atheistic. They know without a doubt who God is. They know without a doubt who is standing in front of them, directly in front of them. They confess that this Jesus is the Son of God. And their words help us to understand something very, very important about God in relation to sin. God will punish all sin, period. You see, what these demons are referring to is the punishment of the rebellion of Satan, of these demons, and the punishment of all sin, even the sin of humanity. These demons know it. They're confessing to us that Jesus will bring judgment. That's why I wanted Revelation chapter 20 to be read. There's no way to escape for these demons. They know it's coming, and they hate God because of it. But we're different. We have a great Savior, this Jesus, that these demons are holding in contempt. We have a great Savior who has made a way for us to be saved. This Jesus, this Son of God, He made atonement for sins of His people on the cross. He stood in the place of His people. He's taken our wrath and He's extinguished it fully. These demons know their punishment is coming and there's no way to escape, and they still hate God. They hate Jesus for it. In fact, they question, why is there? Are you here before the appointed time? I think there's disdain in the way they're speaking. Then they make a request of Jesus. They said, "Now a herd of pigs was feeding some distance from them, and the demons begged Him, saying, 'If You cast us out, send us away into the herd of pigs.'" Note the way they make the request. Their words show that they know that Jesus can speak and they will be gone. They know Jesus could punish them and they would be punished. He is their Creator, and while they rebel, He still has the authority over them to send them out. "If You cast us out," they are proclaiming that Jesus has the authority to force them to leave the man. Let me ask you how you think about Jesus. Do you think about Jesus in this way, that He has this sort of authority and power in His creation and His world? He does. He's fully God. He has power over all of His creations. This Jesus even has the power to cast out these demons that no one else was able to control. Dear Christian, this is the Jesus that we serve. He is a worthy Savior to worship and follow. Well, maybe you just think of Jesus as a guy who can give you what you want. A cosmic genie. Maybe we could think of Him as a divine vending machine, where you do the right things and you get back what you want. That is not the Jesus presented to us in Scripture. The Jesus presented to us is the one who has full authority to cast out the demons, and they know it. I didn't think I'd ever make a sermon point where I'm pointing to demons as an example of anything that would be good. But in this case, even in their rebellion, they can't help but to proclaim that Jesus is God. Let me move on in the story. They've proclaimed that Jesus has authority. Now there's an option for Jesus. Is He going to show that authority? And He does. He has the power to grant the request. He has the power to instruct them against their will, and they would still have to obey. I want us to read this carefully. I'm going to reread it again. I want you to watch how Jesus responds, because the inability to cast out the demons would mean that Jesus does not have the authority and the power that He claims to have. Because look what happens in verse 32. "And He said to them, 'Go.'" One word is how Matthew records it for us. "Go." "And they came out and they went into the pigs, and behold, the whole herd rushed down the steep banks into the sea and drowned in the waters." One word Matthew records for us: "Go." You know, sometimes in our not specific language, English, we rely upon context. And contextually, I think we could understand "go" a few different ways. We could just say it's simply a yes, it's a you can do as you've asked. But here it's not. I mean, more specifically in the original language, this is a command that Jesus is giving them. They're saying, if you cast us out, then send us over there. And Jesus isn't saying, well, go do what you want. He's commanding them to leave. They are not leaving on their own will. I think the way we should understand this is they would go, we would prefer to stay here in these men, but if you force us to leave, would you send us there? And under the command of Jesus, they leave. If there's any question about who Jesus is and His authority and His power, right here in one word, all of our questions should be answered. Jesus is God. And the demons move to the pigs as required of them. And then they drive those pigs into the water. It's really interesting the way that these demons live. They were dwelling around uncleanness and death. And then when they knew they would be forced to be moved, and Jesus forces them to leave the men, they asked if they could go into unclean animals. I wanted Deuteronomy read this morning because they picked an animal that was unclean. These demons want to dwell in unclean places. They want to dwell in the things that are profane and sinful. And then on their way out, they even killed the pigs. This would have been absolutely crazy to watch. Can you imagine if this would have happened in modern day? News crews would have been out. There would have been some guy out there going, well, you'll never guess what I saw. Those pigs ran down into the water. It's the craziest thing I ever saw. I would probably tell them, I don't know if I want to talk on TV, but I imagine it was absolutely crazy to watch. In fact, it causes the herdsmen to run away. Because Jesus has put His power on display. And He is every bit of God that He has shown Himself to be. There's a couple of things here that Jesus confirms for us. One, by casting them out, He's confirming that what the demon said is true. That one day in the future, He is going to punish sin fully. He also is showing that He not only will do that, He has the power to do that. Again, we have presented to us this morning a Jesus with full authority. Even over the demons, even over sin. He has the authority to punish that sin. And brothers and sisters, everyone listen, He will do it one day. You know, we see these demons confessing that Jesus is God. We see Jesus putting His authority on display. And then there's a response that has to happen. Every time we come to God's Word, there's a response that has to happen. Do we believe it to be true or not? Will we be changed or will we not? There's a response set before us this morning, and it's a wrong response. The people actually reject Jesus' authority. It starts out like it's going to end well, that these people are going to believe. If you look with me in verse 33, the herdsmen's fled. They go into the city. They told everything that happened, especially what had happened to the demon-possessed man. Remember, we find out in the offsetting passages, they had tried to restrain him with no ability to do so. It's a quiet defeat. So everyone came out to meet Jesus. So far, this is normal to the pattern that we've seen and we will see. Jesus heals people and folks come out from the area and more people are healed and more people have demons cast out. This is what we would normally expect. And then all of a sudden, at the very end of the chapter, when they see Jesus, they beg Him to leave. They reject His authority. They reject Him as the one who can not only save the possessed man, but can also save them from their sins. And they show that they care more about Him leaving and not destroying any more of their livestock than they do about people. They cared a lot less about this man that was healed than they did their livelihood. And so they ask him to leave. I think they're scared and they don't want anything else destroyed. And they say, just go. This is the wrong response to Jesus. What they should have done is fallen down and worshipped him. They should have asked him to forgive their sins. They should have believed enough to bring others to be healed, to stay and to listen to him teach, but they asked him to leave. They completely rejected him. I think we have to ask the question, how are we going to respond today? Like, if you've never placed your faith in Jesus, why not? He is the only one that can redeem you from your sins and save you. Every single one of us have sinned. God's Word is very clear on that. Every single person has sinned, and every single one of us deserves God's wrath poured out on us. We deserve this punishment that we read of in Revelation. We deserve God's wrath poured out on us. But Jesus came and stood in our place. He bore the wrath for our sins, the ones that's due to us, and He extinguished God's wrath for His people. Do not respond like these people did. Do not reject Jesus. Repent. Turn to Him in faith. Let me tell you just a moment what it means to trust in faith. Because sometimes I think there's misunderstanding in this. One, we have to know the facts about Jesus, who He is. I've told you about those. We've seen His authority on display today. But it's got to be more than that. These demons confessed that Jesus is the Son of God. They knew who He was. Two, you have to not only know who He is, but agree that what He did is good and true. But that isn't enough either. The demons believe they're going to be punished one day. There's a third aspect of faith that the demons did not have. They never repented of their sin. They never placed their trust in Jesus. The demons, unable, refused to do so. But we in humanity are able. We are able, with God's help, to repent and believe. Why not do this today? Why not turn to Jesus if you've not done it and trust in Him? Now, some of us have already placed our faith in Jesus, but maybe you have been distracted and you need a reminder of who Jesus is. This text serves that purpose for us today. The Jesus we serve is the one who can even cast out demons because of His authority. And He can do it with one word. And because you have seen today that He has authority even to punish the demons, He has authority and one day will punish all sin unless it has been placed upon Him on the cross. Repent. Repent. That's what we should do as believers. When we sin, when we're confronted with Jesus, we should repent. You know, I wonder if the Apostle Paul was thinking about passages like this when he wrote Colossians. I turn here often when I see Jesus upheld high. I'm always thinking about the way Paul wrote about this. And probably my favorite of Paul's epistle chapters is Colossians chapter 3, because he says, look to where Jesus is seated above. See Him high and exalted. Or maybe see Him here as the one who has authority to cast out the demons. And that this one laid His life down for you and then throw off sin. Put to death what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, evil desires, covetous, anger, wrath, malice, slander, seen talk, lying, all of those things that Paul mentions. Put those off because Jesus has laid His life down for you. And then, put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, thankfulness. Strive to be like Christ. Because He, having this great authority, even to cast out and to punish demons, found it good to lay His life down for you. And now that we have all of His work granted to us, we should strive to please Him. As we conclude today, This passage is meant to show us Jesus' authority and power. It's meant to show us and remind us who Jesus is. He not only puts his authority on display, but even the demons confess that he is God. And this Jesus is one that is worthy to be worshipped. Let's pray this morning. Father, we are so thankful that you have sent Jesus, not just a man, not just a good teacher, not just a good leader, but you have sent a perfect Redeemer. One fully divine, full of power and authority, even to cast out and to punish the demons. Would you help us today to see Jesus high and exalted? Would you help us to see him for who he is? Now, we are so grateful that you have sent this Christ to us, this Savior to us. And we ask that as we see him, you would change us, and that you would melt away our desires to sin, and that you would help us to long to be like our Lord Jesus. And we pray these things in his great and holy name. Amen.